radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's Gallant.
That's a G.
No. And George.
Thanks, Joe.
Yeah.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios located at La Berge Casino Resort in Lake Charles. Here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
Welcome in to Gallant George on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, broadcasting from the patio of the Sportsbook at La Berge in Lake Charles. Beautiful day outside. Definitely the last time we'll be able to do this outside like this when we come.
Oh, you're a weatherman now?
I mean, we're going to be cooking the next time we come and do this.
And a mathematician? Well, that's good. I don't want to wear clothes. I'm just going to wear a bathing suit.
That's fine, too. Yeah, we're right by the pool.
The last
great
time
view
that I was here was in 2016,
okay,
for a fantasy football draft that we had right in that beautiful little garden in the middle of the lazy river.
Mm.
Nice.
Do I remember anything that happened at that fantasy football draft? I remember thinking I had the best fantasy football team in all the land.
Did you have the worst team in all the land?
No, it wasn't the worst, but it was like third worst. It was not a great year. I blame Russell Wilson for that, but I had a great time here.
Did you draft Lamar Miller that year?
No, I didn't.
Okay.
I did not.
I was wondering if you...
So excited about your team that you got a tattoo about it?
Are you trying to trigger me 5 minutes into the show?
That's 1 minute into the show, but yes.
Well, hey, you know, if you're going to get that new old English script, H-Town blue red accent tattoo, by all means, I'm not going to stop you. I'm not going to stop you. Am I going to judge you for getting a free tattoo? Because why not?
Well, it was, you know.
I'm just asking.
From the Texans.
I'm asking everybody, what do you think I'm thinking if you do that? What do you think?
You're a smart person.
Yeah.
You're an intelligent person.
You're finessing the game.
That's it.
Yeah.
Exactly it.
So we'll be out here a couple times this year, but we were all at the Sportsbook last night watching the Astros lose again. Another tough night. The NBA playoffs run, those were fun games.
Yeah.
Luka. At least.
Huh?
Luka.
Yeah. How about Luka?
That's the best part about being here is that you have multiple TVs. It's not a two TV setup, it's a four TV setup. So you can really forget about the Houston Astros here.
Yeah, at one point, we should have put on the bottom TV. Our first text here on the show today, make sure Dana Brown stays in Chicago. I don't think this is all Dana Brown's fault, to be honest, but we'll get into them a little bit more later just because there's other stuff going on.
We have to get into them at all.
That's a good point. Maybe two segments today.
Oh.
Come on. We'll be all right.
My stomach hurts. It's making it worse.
Maybe that's why you're sick.
The Houston Astros?
Are the Astros causing Paul sickness?
Probably.
All your tummy aches are because of JP France.
They've given me cancer.
We weren't even checked. Sean wasn't even checked in the hotel before he started getting rocked yesterday.
They were not. They were getting rocked before I was able, from the end of the show, before I got here, somehow in the middle, they got rocked.
Yeah, it's another bad day for the Houston Astros.
They are terrible.
But yesterday the Texans came out with the new jerseys.
They did.
Was the jersey party, everything that was going on. But then there was a little media tour as well at the flagship. And Hannah McNair.
Talking that talk.
She's feeling herself right now. More than Cal is. I mean, Cal's throwing up the H with this big dog. And he got a new chain from Andre Johnson last night, which I think is hilarious.
Cal is a man of few words. Hannah is not.
Yeah, Hannah's very, very, very chatty about how she feels about the Tennessee Titans and everything that's going on with this organization. Is she too chatty?
She keeps her ears to the street, if you will.
Yes.
Some could argue, okay, perhaps rabbit ears, maybe listening a little bit too much, just based off of the way that she handled some things over at the flagship. But she was puffing out her chest about how the Titans weren't allowing the Texans to incorporate as much of that light blue as we'd all have liked to see. And when asked if this is the arch rival of the Houston Texans, and I'm paraphrasing a bit here.
Yeah.
She basically said, well, don't they have to beat us for it to be a rivalry?
Yes. She did say that.
I do love hearing this.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, I do want them to realize that this was a one-year thing. and that they got to make it a two-year thing, you know? And it's going to be hard for them to do that. So to say first they need to beat us, they have been beating the Texans for most of the last few years. Last year was the change. I like a little trash talk during the offseason.
Yeah.
But, I mean, if you've been listening to us long enough, I think we're all just optimistic. I don't think we're guaranteeing anything for next season. We like what we saw last year, but the schedule this year is going to be brutal.
I mean, what, Derrick Henry rushed for like 1,000 yards versus the Texans in four games?
That's, I was just about to say, I'm old enough to remember when Derrick Henry would set his career high every time he played the
your
Texans.
Your big brother's Titans, yeah.
Like, yeah, your slightly older brother's Titans.
So I really don't have an issue with, like you said, like I don't mind the trash talk. But it is one of those things where, like, they're feeling themselves really strong right now. And they deserve it. They got their quarterback. They got their head coach. They won a playoff game. They're making the push. But it is one of those moments where, like, these are, like, the recipe for a new chapter in the next book of Old Takes Exposed when he puts out his second book. Like, if the Tennessee Titans beat you in a game this year, she's going to be getting cooked online.
The good thing is, I don't know that players get motivated by what owners say, and this does feel like it's Amy Adams Strunk versus Hannah McNair.
It feels kind of personal, right?
If between those two, which is even more fun, Cal's the strong silent type. Cal doesn't talk that much, but Hannah does not hold back. And I guess the little more quotes from Hannah McNair. She says she's heard people saying she's been particularly salty about the Titans. Here's what she said. I love this. Who started wearing it? Wearing it against us. If anyone was salty, their in-house PA was instigating it. It was unbelievable, but also wonderful because we finished the story. Okay? So, I mean, who's salty here? I do like this. It does add a little extra element. All I'm saying is I'm not as those country folks say, I'm not counting my chickens before they're hatched.
Yeah, it's a little early. Like, that's all. Like, I do love this. And also, like, one of the things that, like, not to nitpick everything she's saying, but finish the story, it's that they're divisional games. Like, in season. Like, you can't really triumph this story in this rivalry until you go to a place that they've been, which is AFC Championship games. They've been to a Super Bowl. You've been to neither.
Yeah, but you have 7 AFC South titles.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter, Joe.
Doesn't matter, Joe.
AFC South champs.
AFC South
defending
champs.
Defending AFC South champs.
And still. But the Titans feel like they're like the little brother rivalry. We talked about this a couple weeks ago. Like, who could be the rivalry for the Texans? Like, is it the Chiefs? Is it the Ravens? It doesn't feel like the Titans.
You don't
like
care
as much as they try to do this.
Right. You care that the Oilers left. You hate Amy Adams Strunk. But, I mean, have they ever been good at the same time?
No.
I don't think they have. You know, the Titans have had some good seasons. Don't get me wrong. But when was the last time where both the Texans and Titans were good? And also, obviously, the Texans haven't been good that often, which is why, again, cautioning the McNairs, like, okay, we get it. You're feeling frisky right now. You know, you had a glow up. You had a makeover. But again, it's been 1 year. Slow down.
Define good. Like, 2019.
I was going to say,
the Texans have 10 wins. The Titans had 9. They both made the playoffs.
Probably then. But,
yeah, there's some Bill O'Brien year.
But the Titans went far that year in the playoffs, and the Texans got smoked by the Chiefs in the second round.
Yeah. They're set up to host that AFC title game if they held on to 20 points.
Hey, 2016, they both went 9-7.
That is the most Texans and like Titans it's like, season ever.
I think the better question is, like, how often are they just both average or bad? Like, neither of them are both, like, really good. Like, you don't have two typically a 12 and an 11 win team like we've seen from the AFC West or the AFC North. Like, we talk about how good they're going to be this year. Like, you don't have two Super Bowl contenders in the division. Maybe, like, that would bring something to this, like, rivalry that they're trying to make.
I think ultimately, Joe, it's like this is a team in Nashville, which is really not exactly a city that's – what's the word I'm looking for here? it's a city of fraudulence. I mean, Nashville is one of a few cities in the United States where just tons and tons of people are coming into it. I mean, is it a reflection of Tennessee? Not really, right? And look, I haven't been there. I have a friend, though, who
it's like Austin
in Seattle, who moved from Seattle to Nashville. Like, tons of people are leaving. Exactly like Austin.
I was going to say, I wonder if people say, like, Tennessee's not – or
Nashville's not Tennessee.
Yeah, Nashville's not Tennessee.
I bet a lot of people do. Yeah. It's kind of like
– I don't think Nashville wants to be Tennessee.
No, I don't either. And I don't think Tennessee wants Nashville to be in Tennessee.
By their running water and electricity. I had to beat you to it, Paul.
I love it. That was fantastic. So – But I think a bigger part of it is, okay, the team left, but you don't miss them that much. The only thing that you miss about them are those uniforms. That's legitimately it.
That's the entire rivalry.
And you can't have a rivalry based in they left. You know, I'm curious what it's going to be like having left Seattle, who has a similar kind of complex with the Oklahoma City Thunder. They hate the Oklahoma City Thunder because they left Seattle and became that team. But also the Sonics are staying in Seattle. If there's ever a basketball team again, it will be the Seattle Supersonics because they kept it. So now it's just hate. It's one-sided hate. I don't think really there's that much that's coming from Nashville because I don't think there are really that many Titans fans.
No, except for the guy that's
sensitive online ones. The guy with the gap teeth.
I was going to say the guy who just screams a lot and has the gap teeth. He's like the Titans version of Larry and Stafford, like very much so. Like he just screams into his phone. And people hated it very much. That's one thing I realized last year during the Texans run. Like, there's a lot of dumb fans in this division.
Mm.
There's the Jags guy that was going all over the place.
UCF Jaguars and stuff.
Not a great.
That's two barrels of dumb fan too. Like, UCF and Jags.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. Because no one in this division's used to winning anything. that's kind of why. Like the Colts fans are kind of the best out of the bunch, as far as the other three. And I feel like a lot of that just comes from they grew up watching Peyton Manning.
they
have a modicum of you know what, going 9-7 isn't something to get in my car and scream into my phone about.
That's fair.
They stole their team too.
So are you? Yeah, she's talking too much. She's talking too much junk.
I like the talk.
I do too.
There are certain people who can get away with it, if you will.
Your players just got to back it up a little bit.
Yeah, it's one of those situations where she. And it's not like she's talking trash to some massive, 6'5", jacked guy, and here you are just standing there, like, honey, come on. It's not that.
Yeah, don't talk me into a fight.
But it's someone who's similarly sized to you. Maybe you're a little bigger than that person, and you sort of are like, do I really want to do this? I don't know if I really want to do this. And listen, I have a thing for smaller, loud folk. But there's a line that I'm not willing to cross.
Is that like really your type? Smaller, loud folk?
I like what? I like small Italian women. it's kind of my type.
I was,
they're very loud.
I was curious. I was like,
no, I mean, I like someone who likes to talk bleep, but I don't want to fight for the bleep that's being talked.
Yeah, that feels like contradictory, though, of the type of women that you might like.
It's not contradictory at all. Listen, I want my cake and I want to eat it too, but I don't want to do anything else.
We got a lot going on today. We'll have a couple people here from the Burrs joining us on the show. Matt Holland, the assistant sportsbook director, is going to join us at 12:45, talk about what's going on a little bit here in Louisiana with some of the betting changes that they're being forced to make. And a surprising random move, the Heisman Trophy has been returned to Reggie Bush. Pedro Muniv, one of the general managers, joined us on the show as well. We'll continue building our big board, but we gotta get into the Astros a little bit. They took another L last night versus the Cubs. Dana Brown has walked back his 8 to 10 straight wins. He also might be questioning the team's toughness, which good. That's next on Glatton George here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN 97.5. 52-85. You're listening to Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, located at La Berge Casino Resort in Lake Charles.
Broadcasting live from LaBerge in Lake Charles. We're out here on the outside patio of the Sportsbook. Great place to watch a game. So got a bunch of stuff coming up here as well. They'll have a big screen out here. They had it out here for the Final Four, so they'll have that for big events. So UFC 301, the Canelo fight, maybe if the Astros play relevant baseball games at some point this year, they would bring it out for that. But, you know, they don't do that anymore. They just make us sad. That's how I feel.
I mean, hey, at least when I got here last night, I got to see Jake Myers go deep.
Okay.
The first thing I saw when I got here on the TV, and I thought to myself, okay, going to get changed, come down. And
here comes the comeback.
The rally finally started. This is going to be the turning point for the rest of the year.
Uh-huh.
And instead, much like in the words of a Concrete Blonde that's playing in the background, they're passed out on the floor. Joey, baby, go to rehab.
From the 832, in order to save the Astros season, sacrifice the ticket for the over, Joe. Our over under 92.5 wins.
We have 66 and
should we just
66 and
do you think Brian would be upset if we sacrificed him? We ripped it up.
We have
while
2/3 of the committee right here.
Yeah, if we just tore it up to try to save the Astros season, maybe it's our fault for betting on the Astros.
No, you can't get rid of it, but you should do something to get a little something back.
So bet the under.
Bet him to lose tonight.
You gotta hedge, as the kids say.
I hedged last night.
You hedged last night.
Yeah,
You hedged.
I hedged.
Okay.
Because I had the over 217 in the Mavericks and Clippers game, and apparently, like, they decided to play defense.
That's about every game so far in the playoffs.
Like, it's James Harden and Luka.
They're all over each other. Luka's good on defense.
I know. Halftime, when they scored like 90 points, I came back to the book and looked at it, and I hedged on. I got the under, and that one hit. So I came out just like a little short on that one, but it was not great. The first one, it was not good.
Well, hedge some more.
Oh, I wonder what the over under.
Maybe Rangers to win the division.
Now that I can't do.
Oh yeah, right.
How about Mariners to win the division.
It is plus money
because the Astros have a better chance of winning the division than they do.
Maybe winning the
wild card or winning 93 games.
We'll look at the division odds before we leave, and maybe we'll bet on
Mariners.
The Rangers.
Mariners. Let's do it. Let's do it. I might start wearing Mariners clothes to work again.
You already are.
Yeah,
with the S hat.
You got it on right now.
This is actually my Shorecrest Preparatory School baseball hat.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Why do you still have it?
Why wouldn't I have it?
It's a sick hat. So first thing, yes. Second, I can't believe it's in that good of condition.
I had it recreated.
Okay.
But this is what it looks like.
I'm so a little confused. I'm like, you're not old, but it is like you're a little up there.
No, if I had a hat from high school, it would look older than that hat.
Yeah.
This is the only old letter that I'd ever get tattooed on my body.
I'm surprised you don't. You don't have it like
a green and gold S on my
right here on the forearm. Just like
you can't do it on the forearm though.
He'll never get a job.
I can't get a job.
All district.
That would be fun. But then, like, in really fine print, it was all white people.
Well, there was the Rangers fan who got the box score from when they won the World Series, like the whole box score.
Uh-huh.
Can we get, like, the whole list of the all county or whatever
the all district team?
All
from
district team.
2007?
Just like all, like, 50 names or whatever it is, and then just make sure yours is a little bit larger.
Yeah, in bold.
Bobby
yeah.
Santana wishes he was this cool. That was one of the other guys.
So, Dana Brown was doing an interview this morning with Salisbury and Lima over at the flagship, and he changed his tune a little bit. He's no longer pushing 8 to 10 wins in a row. He said they just need to win like 3, 4, or 5 games.
This is so depressing.
So he's walking it back a little bit.
All you could do is laugh. That's all you could do.
Yeah.
I mean, look, I'm going to be mean to them until they win 3 in a row. I get it. The Cubs have a plus 500 record. They're off to a good start. But come on, guys. It's really all I have to say.
Cody Bellinger last night played some of the worst center field I've ever seen in my life at Wrigley Field.
Really?
Like he misplayed a couple balls that were just awful. I mean, the one, the Tucker play, where he dropped it and hit off the ivy. Yeah. And then he had another one where he just totally misread it. Like, they could have won last night's game. That's the story of the Astros season. Like, they just...
I mean, they lost 7-2. If you take out the 5-run first inning given up by J.P. France, 2-2 tie.
Oh, great. So it's going to go
to extra innings.
No, it's going to go to the back of the bullpen who are going to F it up.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Is it Presley? Is it Hader? Is it Abreu? Which reliever that was supposed to be so good going into this year with a 6-plus ERA will piss it away tonight? Check it out.
Hopefully it's Taylor Scott, who only gave up one run.
Hey, he's got a below 3 ERA this season.
Taylor Scott and Seth Martinez.
Seth Martinez was only allowed one earned run over two innings.
Hey, that's positive.
His ERA 2.57. Taylor Scott and Seth Martinez have better ERAs than Abreu and Presley and Hader.
Than everybody. Nathan Astro.
So what we're saying here is that going forward,
Seth Martinez starts.
I was going to say
Taylor Scott closes.
But what about Montero?
Montero gets the sixth.
Montero gets the sixth?
Or seventh.
Oh, he doesn't get the eighth?
I guess someone has to pick. Can Taylor Scott go two innings?
Update on Christian Javier. They said he'll just miss two starts, but they did say that he's not going to. Part of the reason why he's not back now is because it's cold in Chicago. So he doesn't want to hurt his neck more. Because he's got a stiff neck.
How cold is
what
it?
It's cold in Chicago, so Christian Javier can't pitch.
How cold is it?
It's 38 degrees.
Okay, fair.
It's not fair.
And 15 mile per hour wind. Oh, my God.
Which like it makes it feel like it's like probably 20.
Okay. Yeah, and he's from the Dominican Republic in Houston, so it's like 10 degrees.
If he was on that.
He should be dressed like an Inuit.
If he was on that Caribbean contract for that Caribbean money, which is to say he was getting robbed blind. Okay. No, Christian Javier is now new money Christian Javier. He hurt his neck while sleeping.
We've all been there.
What's the wind chill? Hold on.
15-day IL, Joe. Have you missed work for 3 weeks because you slept funny?
No. The most I ever missed work is like 2 weeks. It's because my wife had a baby.
See?
I've never missed work.
In the middle of the season? Soft.
It was in the middle of the season.
In the middle of what season?
I guess it wasn't because he was born in March.
Oh, okay. See,
so
smart.
I missed nothing.
In between Astros and football season.
Yeah. Actually, it was a good timing.
See, you're a good teammate.
Yeah. Put the team above everyone else.
You timed it out. Right. A lot of people should do that. I think it is.
You got to time it.
You got lots of time.
I did tell Dana, I was like, you know, when it's time for baby two, I got to make sure, you know, we're not in the Super Bowl
window. Your wife, Dana, not Dana Brown.
Yeah, my wife, Tana.
I was about to say that.
That is confusing. That, like, you know, no, we can't have a baby when the Texans are going to be in the Super Bowl. So we got to make sure that timing's not – make sure that's correct.
I think now you can aim for October. Not have to worry about it.
It was missing regular season games and no Astros games.
You will not miss an Astros game this year.
I thought this quote was actually interesting a little bit. So this is what Dana Brown told the morning show over there. He said, quote, "I think we're still determining how tough this team is. I personally think they're tough, but some things need to happen for us to see the grit in this team."
Oh, my God.
So he's kind of calling them out a little bit about, like,
That's not kind of. I mean, this is a team that's been to 7 straight ALCS, and the guy who's the newbie is like, I'm not sure how tough they are. I mean, he's basically saying that. Now, probably said it with a little bit more polish and spin, so it's not quite an abrasive confrontation comment. But yeah, he's calling them out. Are they going to respond to that? Are they going to turn Dana Brown into a dartboard? Are they going to do what they do in Major League where, you know, they're slowly, like, stripping pieces off of a cardboard cutout of him or something like that?
Yeah.
That would be a little weird, but hey, to each their own. Is he allowed to make that comment?
I like that he's making it because it's not the same as boring nonsense he gives us.
It's different and less back of the baseball card.
Yeah.
But is he allowed to do that? He's the new guy here. It's not his fault, necessarily, the way that the roster is constructed. Right? Like, he got the Altuve extension, the Hader contract, we're maybe not the biggest fans of. Mm-hmm. But I mean, that's really all we have to judge Dana Brown off of thus far. And the Christian Javier deal, which is pretty team-friendly.
Yeah.
But does he have the, I guess, ability to call them out?
Yeah,
like
I think
that?
I think he does, because I think
I think at 7-17,
yeah,
I think anyone can call you out.
Yeah, honestly, I'd like the players to do it. Like, everything's gonna be okay. We're gonna get. I mean, even Dana Brown said some other stuff. He's like, we're gonna get on a roll. We're gonna get hot. Okay, stop saying it. Like, just keep saying, like, you're going to work on it. You're going to figure it out. He talked about Jose Abreu. They're going to kind of keep him out of the lineup more. And that Joe Espada, he's expecting to make some more changes to the lineup and tinker a little bit till they can get going, or they hope they can get going. But I have no problem with Dana Brown saying that, because someone needs to. Because they do – they look – I don't know.
I get what you're saying. My question is more, how is the clubhouse going to respond to – the new guy saying those things when he's
sure.
in the front office.
Pissed off, I hope.
Yeah.
Win some games.
Hit some baseballs harder.
Will you be pissed off or will you be annoyed? Because I think I would be annoyed if, okay. that's the guy who's calling me out.
If you're going to be annoyed, go win games.
I agree with you, Sean. Sean, I'm not trying to justify what their mindset might be, but I think if I'm a player and I've been here for a decade and all of a sudden Dana Brown's like, are you guys tough? I'm like, are you high? Did you see what happened in 2017? Did you see when we won a couple of years ago as well, how we just smoked everybody in the playoffs? And you would hope that, yeah, that would turn into some anger and fire. But I feel like more so it's going to be like, shut up, Dana. Like,
yeah.
That's sort of more the reaction I think that the clubhouse would give him, because, as opposed to be like, yo, let's get him.
Because it's not coming from Martin Maldonado and Dusty Baker?
Yes, actually.
So they don't have the leadership. So Bregman and Altuve aren't leaders, is what you're saying.
Well, doesn't feel like Bregman's as.
It feels like since the 2020, the 2019 and 2020 season, the 2019 when the sign stealing came out, and the 2020 season, it feels like he's lost all the swagger that he ever had.
Oh,
he looks castrated out there. Like, he has absolutely none of the sauce that he used to have, carrying the bat out to first base,
right?
Doing the stare down. Like, he just sits there and goes, well, we got to play better.
Exactly. It kind of feels – so, you know, I'm not the biggest fan of road trips. It feels like the Astros are at, like, hour 4 or 5 of a road trip. It's starting to get a little dark, and they're starting to get a little tired at the wheel. You know, they're going 105, and they've been, like, aggressively using the passing lane and weaving all the way to the right and back over to the left because of a couple of trucks that keep on blocking and slowing everything down.
Huh.
But you're starting to get a little tired on the road, and it feels like, yeah, they're kind of falling asleep at the wheel.
Yeah.
Altuve and Bregman are like, yeah, you know, like.
And Dana's being like.
Where's the 5-hour energy?
Dana's like, stop driving into the shoulder. Stop hitting the rumble strips.
Stop.
And stay in the mayonnaise and mustard.
There's nothing worse. Like, it's my biggest fear is falling asleep when I'm driving, and every now and then I do get very tired. No, because.
Why is that your biggest?
Because it happened like once for about like 2 seconds, and that's what I felt was the bumps on the side of the shoulder.
Yeah.
Luckily, it was New Hampshire where the highway was almost I-10 Katy freeway size, and I felt those bumps, and there's nothing worse than that jolt of electricity of like, oh my God, I think asleep for a second while driving a car. We need that to happen for the Astros, but I mean, like, when is that going to happen?
I mean,
Dana Brown in the back seat is not the guy that's going to make me go, because
that's what he is. He's like the worst backseat driver you could have.
Then it should be the people who have more power than him in the front office, which is Craig Biggio, Jeff Bagwell, and Reggie Jackson.
Well, I also don't think, like, any players on this team honestly give a crap what Jeff Bagwell has to say. That's just my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
I have nothing to verify that, but.
We do know Joe Espada spoke to players individually about adjustments, but as Pinche brings up on the Twitch, is it time for a team meeting?
Yes.
To perhaps get Maldonado a mustache and get him over from Chicago? I mean, they're in Chicago.
Yeah, just drive over.
Are the White Sox in town?
I don't know.
Who cares?
Can Maldonado take him out to dinner?
I'm sure wherever they are, they're losing right now. So
I mean, they're only in Minnesota, so.
That's a couple hours away.
It's not too far.
Yeah, but you got to fly. You can't.
I mean, they'll be back.
That's not Milwaukee.
They'll be back in Chicago on, no, not till Friday.
Yeah, Milwaukee to Chicago is an hour. You got to fly if you're going from Chicago to Minnesota.
Yeah, so no, Martin Maldonado is not going to come save the day. Mm. I'm sure him and Carlos Correa, though, are just like, see, look at these idiots without us. They can't survive.
How about they let Ozzie Guillen into the clubhouse?
Oh, just really fire him up here a little bit?
I mean, Ozzie Guillen's got some motivational tactics, I'm sure. What, like $100,000? You can't drop that down? You're already, you know, you're paying, what are you paying Josh Hader per out right now that he's got
a lot,
this season?
A lot. A lot this season?
I mean,
almost as much as you're paying Abreu per hit.
This doesn't count as the luxury tax threshold. Like, it would be like hiring somebody for a speaking engagement.
Yeah,
drop 100K on Ozzie Guillen's table. He'll call the ball.
I'd be fine with
soft.
That. Soft. Someone needs to do it. I guess Dana Brown's the guy to do it a little bit without calling.
Yeah, I was
going
to say someone needs to do it except for Dana Brown.
Yeah.
That's what you're saying.
Yeah. All right. Who's soft these days? I guess Christian Javier might be soft.
The Astros.
Because he can't pitch in the cold. We'll do soft boys next here on Gallatin George on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Loaded, ready to rule.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Soft boys, in a tough sitch. Ime Udoka thinks you're a bitch.
Hello, I'm George here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, broadcasting live from the patio of the Sportsbook at LaBerge Lake Charles, your go-to betting spot, and watching all your favorite Texas teams. We'll have draft coverage here tomorrow. I'm trying to decide if I want to do any draft bets before I leave.
Okay.
Probably not.
You got a hedge. Got ahead.
Maybe J.J. McCarthy, top four.
Wow. I would say no to that.
I think he might go number four overall. I think the Vikings might trade up with the Cardinals or with the Chargers. Because his draft position is over under five and a half. So he might fit into that one. Great place to watch the Masters, of course. We'll have the Canelo fight coming up here, UFC 301. I know someone texted earlier, so they're going to be coming here. For the Canelo fight, Crawford Bach on tap, great food. We all enjoyed a bunch of different stuff last night. We had the nachos, beef tips, shrimp. Paul had a nice steak. It was a great place to come watch and bet on your favorite Texas teams. Let's get into soft boys here.
Okay.
We'll start with the one that I'm going to throw in here last second, okay? Is Owen Wilson soft? Because there's apparently a new movie coming out that depicts O.J. Simpson as innocent of murder.
Oh, you said Owen Wilson.
Owen Wilson was offered the role of the attorney, Douglas McCann, but denied it. And he said, quote, "If you think I'm going to take the lead role in a movie about how O.J. didn't do it, you've got to be kidding me." Is Owen Wilson soft?
Why?
Because he doesn't want to be in a movie that's about O.J. being innocent.
I mean, who would want to be in a movie about O.J. being innocent?
It's obviously fictional. it's obviously a work of fiction.
I mean, there's going to be people in it because they're going to make this movie. I'm fascinated by this movie already.
I'm not at all.
I'm not going to pay to go see it, but like when it comes out on like Hulu, I will.
This says the controversial star Charlotte Kirk.
I've never heard of that person.
I feel like three of us would have had to hear of you as an actress starring in a movie to be called controversial.
Yeah, I don't know. Who
There's
that
a
is.
Certain level of fame you need to be controversial.
And then the Coyotes officially have left Phoenix.
Mm-hmm.
They kind of like what you were talking about earlier with the Sonics. The history of the team, not that there's much, is staying behind in Phoenix. But the Coyotes owner, Alex Marullo, has the opportunity to repurchase or purchase a new team, an expansion team, in the next like 4 years, I think it is. So they had a press conference, him and then the NHL's commissioner, Gary Bettman. And it was awkward. And,
yes, very.
Here's an example of... of what occurred during this press conference.
Over the last year, because I don't like the media. In fact, it's funny, I own two TV stations in Los Angeles, five radio stations in Los Angeles, and I've never once been on any radio or any TV. I don't like the media. I'm very, I avoid media for many reasons.
Well, let me translate that a little bit. I don't think anybody should take that personally. I think he doesn't like being a public person. Right? And not that he dislikes the media, because as he says, he owns media, and all of you he wasn't referring to. Some people don't like to be that out there in public. And, you know, you wouldn't be the only owner in any sport who feels that way.
Let me clear it up. He's exactly right. I didn't mean it that way. I'm being facetious, okay? Bottom line, I am involved in media for many years. but I don't like the limelight.
I'm sorry, man. You own a professional sports team. BS. If you buy a professional sports team, the limelight is going to be on you in some way, shape, or form. What, you want to be rich in the shadows? Then don't buy a hockey team that you've successfully run into the ground, which is pretty hard to do, it seems.
Yeah, it was a weird press conference.
There's another moment where Gary Bettman was talking about how much money they've lost, and that fellow, Alex, speaks up, and Gary Bettman literally put his hand on his forearm to stop him from talking further. So this guy could have theoretically been the owner of the return of the Houston Aeros.
Yeah.
I'm actually pretty happy that hockey is not moving to Houston if that guy is running the show.
Yeah.
He seems like low-hanging fruit.
So he no longer owns the franchise that's moving to Salt Lake.
No.
Just got the team, like, taken away from him.
Yeah.
Then why was he there for the press conference?
Because he can re-buy a team.
Gotcha.
Because when they expand to Houston, he can put in a bid. If he can get funding finally for a new stadium, he will get first right of approval or denial, either way you want to say it, to bring a team back to Phoenix. He has like a 3 or 4 year window.
So anytime the NHL expands, he has a chance.
Yeah, at least the next like 4 years.
I think that should be revoked.
I think so too. And I don't think that he'll never get a stadium. So like it'll never happen. But yeah, what a weird press conference.
And also what a weird agreement to break up with someone and be like, but when you find a new boyfriend, I have the first right of refusal. If I have my life together, when you have a new boyfriend, like, but we can still see other people. It's such a weird. Yeah, he basically just got like emasculated, mm-hmm. like in every way you can. Not only getting his team taken away from, but also at the press conference.
Yeah, the one where Gary Bettman like puts his hand on him and he's like, he's losing a ton of money. It's like, I was like, oh, that's so weird. Like, I've never seen anything like that. That'd be like Roger Goodell, like
the least powerful commissioner in sports.
Yeah.
Shushed you.
I feel like that we've overlooked that so far. We're talking about Gary Bettman is the one being like, all right, little guy, let's.
How many lockouts have they had in the last 20 years?
Four.
I mean, they missed a full year.
Yeah. Like,
they've had so many. And then we'll go to the UFL. Is that what it is? Right?
Yeah. United Football League.
I can't remember.
Because it was the XFL.
It's for us. And there was the USFL.
And there was another United Football League.
Yeah.
There's the AAF.
Oh, I remember that one. Yeah. They lasted, four games?
Yeah, I couldn't pay the players.
There's the league with Johnny Manziel where you get to pick the plays.
Oh, yeah.
Out of the field.
The fan, whatever.
The fan league or whatever.
Yeah.
T.O.'s on that team, too, I think. But Wade Phillips, they have a sideline reporter. That can ask questions to people during the games. And here's Wade Phillips in an interaction with the reporter that was a soft, soft question.
Why the decision to kick off there?
What?
The decision to kick off and not go for fourth down. 3 timeouts. There you go.
And then afterwards, Wade Phillips wasn't done. Wade, after the fact, he tweeted about it. Because Wade actually knows how to use Twitter, despite being up there in age. And I love Wade Phillips. Wade tweeted, "We stopped them and had 2 timeouts left when we got the ball back. Stupid question." And continued by saying this, quote, "I didn't appreciate being second-guessed in a critical moment in the game when TV guy was obviously wrong."
Yeah. I don't blame him.
Like, I like that he actually pushed back against this, because it is very annoying to have some random person in your face asking questions, because this is the only league where that happens, and it does make it seem rather Mickey Mouse. And I mean, Wade Phillips has enough pellets on the wall where I feel like that's not a UFL coach you should be allowed to do that to.
What a look on his face.
Oh, he looks so pissed.
Right to, I think that's Cole Kubelek. He does a lot of SEC Network stuff.
Yeah, I just... First of all, that's a tough job, and I think I get why Cole asked it that way, but that's tough. I don't,
because he has to be quick with it, so you can't do the full setup to the question. But yeah, I you know, when you have this level of access, they're using it, and what they got, I'm sure Cole Kubelik doesn't love the role he had to play in it.
Probably
but that
not.
Was a great moment that this league just got.
Lastly here, before we go to break, Simone Biles did not like the backlash that Jonathan Owens was getting because he didn't know who she was.
And didn't like the backlash that she was getting as well. It was very strange. She did an interview with Call Her Daddy. And, yeah. Jonathan Owens, on an interview with Ryan Clark, had said he didn't know when he met her on a dating app, Raya. He didn't know who she was.
So that's the rich person dating app?
It's the famous people dating app that somehow Jake Asman's on and I'm not. I'm not
Stop it. Stop. You're lying to me.
I'm not lying. Rock bottom for Paul in his dating life was Jake saying, well, I can invite you on the app. Because you have to have somebody basically invite you on the app. And you only get, like, I guess, one invitation.
Wow.
I know.
I should hit him up for that invitation.
You should.
I'm, like, baffled.
Well, hey, now you're sliding into DMs on LinkedIn now.
Yeah.
So you don't need Ryan.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I'm good.
You're good
classy.
To go.
Yeah.
Corporate
I'm looking for business professionals.
Yeah, this whole interaction, though, was, like, sought. That people, like, were upset with Jonathan Owens for not knowing who she was.
Yeah, that's what stupid. I'm about. That's where I'm looking at it from. If Jonathan Owens doesn't have to know who a gymnast is before meeting her, you know?
Yeah.
Simone Biles is famous, but I feel like for gymnasts, you know, there is a brief period where they are as relevant as it gets, but it's like for people like us who follow sports, you know?
Well, and when you are at like your
movie star, TV star, no.
And when you're at your peak relevance,
yeah,
half the time your events are on at 4 o'clock in the morning.
Right. So I think she was at her peak relevance, but yeah, exactly. It's not like everyone in Houston should know who Simone Biles is because she's from Houston, but the entire world knowing who Simone Biles is.
Also, everyone in Houston should stop freaking out because she's in a White Sox jersey with Jonathan Owens because he plays for the Bears now.
I think they should.
That's so stupid.
It's not stupid. It's actually, it's smart because if you're an Astros fan, you should be weighing your options. Yeah, and Simone Biles is disgusted with the way that the Astros are playing.
That's the wrong team to choose.
She's jumping on the White Sox bandwagon.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, she's trying to. Listen, will people pay attention to the jersey that she wears? Yeah, so the team that beat the Astros in 2005 in the World Series? Yeah. Epic troll job by Simone Biles. I stand with strong, powerful women.
How she should do it is that it's Martin Maldonado.
It's Maldi and Corey.
She's wearing a Maldi jersey?
Yes.
Oh,
Maldi and Corey Lee.
And you know what? I just looked it up. She was wearing a Maldi jersey.
Leadership.
So quick.
Leadership.
Here's the picture right here.
We'll take a break here. Matt Holland, the assistant sportsbook manager here at LaBerge, is going to join us next on Glatt and George on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to Glatt and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, located at LaBerge Casino Resort in Lake Charles.
Glatt and George here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, broadcasting from the patio of the sportsbook at LaBerge Lake Charles, and we're joined now by Matt Holland, the assistant sportsbook manager here. What's up, Matt? How are you?
Doing well. Thanks for coming back and hanging out with us.
Of course. So, obviously, the draft is tomorrow.
Big night.
What's the betting action like just on the draft in general? Because, like, obviously, like it's kind of a crapshoot. You don't really know what's going on. Like, last year, we all saw Will Levis, one of our coworkers, was, like, obsessed with him for some reason. Was, like, a minus 400 favorite to be drafted in the top five. He went in the second round.
That did
work. So it's, like, it's the odds. We really don't know what's going on. There can be all these kind of surprises. So what's, like, the betting market really like for you guys with that?
We've taken some bets on the NFL draft. Obviously, the most popular, you know, thing is to bet on the number one pick. Well, the number one pick has been locked up for 2 years, so the odds are kind of out of whack. There's no value in doing that. But the thing that we're seeing a lot of some people doing small recreational betting is betting on position for your team. So we actually have those markets for each individual team. What will your team draft in the first round? Offensive lineman, quarterback, wide receiver, stuff like that. So I think a lot of people have been, you know, looking at those markets more than anything else, because there's really just not a whole heck of a lot of value. And throughout the next 2 days, we'll probably see stuff like how many people from the SEC will be drafted in the first round, how many people from the, you know, Big 10, Big 12, those smaller, you know, novelty markets will start popping up. And we'll take in a lot more of those bets on Thursday itself as people start showing up to watch the draft in our venue.
Gotcha. It seems like it's almost playing the lottery, though, with these bets.
It really is. And, I mean, it's more or less just like, let's have some skin in the game.
Yeah.
And from the betting side, what I'm hoping is some people come in to watch the draft and put their $20 on this, that, or the other. But there's also three NBA playoff games. And since the draft has a lot of downtime, maybe these people that might be watching the on one of the side TVs, one of the games, betting on player props or anything else like that.
Okay. I imagine a lot of people aren't watching the Astros, and I gotta say, these two have been complaining about a certain bet that they made here.
Yeah,
what's going on?
Yeah, we on our own went with the over 92.5, but Matt, you convinced us to go with the Astros to win the American League. What's going on?
I showed you where the value was, okay? That I tell people all the time, my opinion is not in your wallet. You know, that is your decision-making. But, I mean, we're 24 games into a 162-game season.
It's pretty bad, though.
Ultimately, I mean, what I saw the Mariners, 12 wins?
Yeah.
I mean, y'all are 5 games behind, you know, the division leader. It's a long season. And you have time to fix the pitching woes and everything else like that. Let's everybody pump the brakes. Let's calm down a little bit. The sky is not falling. Now, it's dark, you know, but it's not ultimately the end of days.
Now, we did get a suggestion earlier on the show from our text line. Someone says we should rip up the ticket.
No.
And say and try to reverse the curse that we apparently put on the Astros.
I mean, it's not your fault directly, but I mean, if you look at the ticket still has value, though. It does, because, I mean, if you look at the betting odds, I think the Astros are still at the third best odds to win the World Series. I mean, they're plus 800. There's faith out there. And it's, no, don't rip up the ticket, please.
I will never do that. I only rip on my losers. With the draft, are you guys doing the, this is like a new thing I've noticed. And I haven't had a chance to look at the odds. I was going to look at it before I left. Are you guys doing like the trifectas, like they're doing with the top three picks? I think I saw on the app.
So on the app, the online marketplace is a little bit more flexible with that kind of stuff. In the retail market, we are not doing that to where you can pick like the first three, you know, picks.
Yeah, who are the first three picks in the NFL draft?
A lot of that stuff, our system doesn't allow it to parlay it that way. You're just better suited to be on the online market, unfortunately.
That makes sense. Yeah, you can download the ESPN Bet app.
It's absolutely the same.
So, we were talking about this a little bit yesterday before when I first saw you. So obviously, like right now, Shohei Ohtani. The Jontay Porter stuff that happened, where like he got a lifetime ban, kind of all when that was happening, the state of Louisiana decided that they were going to no longer allow prop bets on college sports.
Yep.
And you told us that you're in favor of that.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Why? Like, why is this a good thing that's happening?
So, especially you see with the Jontay Porter stuff that, you know, even professional athletes can be, you know, compromised. I was trying to think of the right word. And I think if you get to a collegiate level, I just think everybody says, well, they got NIL money. Not everybody has NIL money. There are bigger name athletes at bigger certain colleges that they're going to offer these odds on. And it's just, I do not want one of these kids to be put in a position to where they can lose their potential livelihood, prison time, whatever might come about from it because of a financial decision that somebody else is putting in front of them that they don't know the consequence of. And that one thing about the Jontay Porter, you know, thing is you see how they caught it very quickly. And maybe just not giving these kids the potential just to screw it up. They realize, oh, man, this guy got caught. I could get caught as well. And I think the betting markets will also find some other ways to allow not individual bets, let's say, you know, Corum last year for Michigan, anytime touchdowns. Maybe it's instead of having his anytime touchdowns, it's total rushing touchdowns. It's total receiving yards. It's team receiving yards, team touchdowns. The market will trend that way. That way you can't necessarily pin it on one individual person. And markets adapt. That's what they do. But I don't want one individual kid saying, like, oh, my over-under is this. You know, I need to drop this pass. I need to make sure. Hey, quarterback, I need you to throw me the ball. And it just it's a whole lot of windows that get shut whenever they, you know, remove that. So I'm fine with it.
It does seem like a lot of the sports books are doing a very good job, though, of catching these things mm-hmm. before it happens. I forget. Who was that pitching coach for a college
Alabama.
Team?
Alabama.
Right.
Yeah.
And he was,
I mean, if you want to –
they flagged that quick.
You want to – if you go read that story, I mean, congratulations on just a clinic on how to get yourself caught. I just expert class. But, yeah, the one thing about – betting becoming more accepted and widespread or legalized is we can see the trends and it takes away any of the guesswork. You know, before when the old days of bookies and everything else like that, you would never know about it because nobody wants to get caught,
right.
You know, or, you know, don't want to give up the profit. But these things, these trends, people make mistakes. And whenever I got the email, you know, saying, hey, did y'all take any suspicious wagers on this? I was like, no, why would we take a suspicious wager? And then you see, oh, somebody put an $80,000 player prop parlay involving Jontay Porter. I'm just like, why? Why?
It's his family.
I mean, even worse
it's
so.
Himself.
Yeah, exactly. You know, these people are going out of their way to get themselves caught.
Yeah.
And, you know, but at least, you know, we can, you know, whenever you have a whole bunch of people looking at it, you can find the suspicious behavior.
Anything interesting for when you look at the NFL draft odds? That you've seen in the market, or any bets that stand out to you personally? Or
I mean, not really. I've never been a huge fan of betting on the NFL draft, just because I mean, all betting is speculative, but just because Schefter sends a tweet, or, you know, somebody's playing top golf with somebody, as we were just saying, that influences the betting market. I'm sorry, it doesn't fancy my interests. I will watch a draft just like everybody else.
Yeah.
I mean, I'll see what my Bengals do, and we'll, you know, move on from there. But it's going to probably be on mute while I'm watching the NBA playoffs.
Yeah. I kind of agree with that. I don't really see betting on the NFL draft as like a valuable – of everything you can bet on, it's the one thing I just couldn't imagine doing it. Because, first of all, the odds aren't that good.
Exactly.
Really, ever.
Like, there's not
really
much
no,
value.
There's not much value. It's so hard to tell. Personally, for me, I'm not a big fan of, like, it's more like the NBA draft. I didn't like what was happening last year with Shams Charania, where he's a reporter, but he also works for, like, FanDuel. And it's like he's tweeting out information, and the line is, like, making these big swings.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, I just think that's, like, the sketchy area where a reporter works for a gambling company.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like you're seeing, like, major changes. So I'm kind of out on betting on the draft, I would say.
I 100% agree with you. And then you also have the arms race between, like, the NBA draft, the arms race between Shams and Woj.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I will never say who they're picking, but they're lasered in on, you know, they are in talks, you know, just like the coded language, and they're just trying to beat each other by 15 seconds to get
right.
the clicks. I mean, yeah, it's not for me. I'd rather just, you know, watch and enjoy.
Speaking of watching and enjoying, I've got my Celtics shirt on right now, and I know they're probably close to the top as far as odds to win the NBA title. What's the best play that you're seeing? Because I like to look at it from this perspective. If I'm going to bet on something, I'm looking for longer odds that probably aren't the most realistic, but at least have an actual shot of happening.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm sure there's some long odds for some of these teams in the NBA playoffs. But who's like a kind of like moderate odd team to potentially win? Because I think most people think it's between the Celtics and Nuggets right now.
I think there is probably, and I don't have the odds in front of me right now, I think there is a little bit of value right now, not necessarily winning the NBA championship, but I do like Minnesota in the West.
Okay.
What I have seen from them so far in the first two games, now granted, it's a 7-game series. Series does not start until road team wins, yada, yada, yada. That team is not scared of anybody. And they are young, they are feisty, and they're athletic. Ultimately, Denver should be the favorite in the West. All roads go through Denver, even though they're not the one seed. But I see a team in Minnesota that doesn't scare easily. I think OKC being the one seed, great story for, you know, rewarding them for a year's worth of work. They're still a year or two away. They need some veterans on that team. Not saying like Minnesota is overwhelming with veterans, but it's guys that know what they're supposed to, and they play great defense. I think there's value there. In the East, congratulations on your entire green wardrobe. I think y'all are good.
I don't know.
Y'all are a 14.5-point favorite tonight, and I was like, that's it.
Everything's so easy-looking right now. There's no Jimmy Butler in this series. We don't know when Giannis is coming back, and I'm just expecting the absolute worst still.
I mean, you're a sports fan. Yeah. It's in your nature.
Yeah, exactly.
And you have a 30-point lead, and you're just like, don't know if I'll feel good
here. I mean,
they
almost blew a 15-point lead in Game 7 of the Eastern Conference Finals against the Heat in, like, 2 minutes.
I'm very much aware. I was watching that game going, not again. Please, not again. But as far as value, if you're betting NBA right now, the value is on the West because I think it is top-loaded.
Gotcha.
And I think you can get creative. If you want to, you know, make some money off your Celtics winning the East and pick one or two teams that are not named the Denver Nuggets, put those two together, and try and get yourself an NBA Finals matchup.
Nice.
And then the other thing is, if you do something like that, and let's say the Heat are up, you know, or the Celtics are up 3-0 in the Eastern Conference Finals, and you have one of your teams on the other side, you can hedge that bet by taking the other side, just trying to lock up a little bit of money. We had several people that actually did that for the NCAA tournament. They had South Carolina winning the women's bracket, and then they also had UConn win the men's. When South Carolina closes it out on Sunday, a lot of people just came in, put down their Purdue money, and said, I'm free rolling. We're good to go. Hmm. So strategic betting in that way, I think you can get a little bit of value out of it.
Okay.
He is Matt Holland, one of the sportsbook managers here at LaBerge Lake Charles. Thank you for joining us. Thanks for the hospitality, as always. And enjoy the NFL draft. And
be a good time.
More fun things we can bet on.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Like the NBA playoffs.
Hell
appreciate
yeah.
It.
Thanks
we'll
for coming,
soon.
God. Thanks for coming by.
Of course. It's Glenn George here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.